Hello and welcome to The Stack. Today's show is all about the new. There's a delicious new selection of titles for you to enjoy in the newsstand, and we all like an issue one. From a new title created out of lockdown, Limbo, to a new print title looking at nature and color. We also feature a new French title that looks at a legend each issue. The first one is dedicated to footballer Zinedine Zidane. And finally, an upcoming music title created and written by women, The White Room. Enjoy the show. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis, and I am Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We celebrate the new today with new titles out, Legend, Command Plus I, and The White Room. But first, let's talk about Limbo, a new publication created out of lockdown, published by Nick Chapin and edited by Monaco 24 regular Francesca Gavin. The beautiful 176-page issue was founded to operate as a not-for-profit venture to support out-of-work artists and creatives. I spoke to both Nick and Francesca about the conception of the title.
Well, Nick conceived the project and originally approached me, but the idea was to create almost like a time capsule for this moment, an ode to independent publishing, and a magazine that really captured a lot of very creative people who were losing work during lockdown and had a lot of time on their hands and wanted to put something together. The main thinking behind it was to have a project where we have a different financial model. So it's basically a profit share. So everyone who gives and contributes to the magazine also benefits from it, which I think was really inspiring to me, definitely to a lot of the contributors.
Just sort of a really interesting moment where, you know, when everyone suddenly got locked down, found their work disappeared and didn't really know what to do with themselves. There were a lot of art projects, publishing projects going around, but they were either charity projects where people were putting work together to raise money for a cause, which is great, or they were those kind of, you know, online curations. And I think what we saw was that in either case, the artists and the creatives themselves weren't getting paid. And while all those projects had really great intentions, there was actually a real need to find a way that collectively we could come together to generate paying work for the people in our industry who really needed it. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea.
And Nick, tell us a bit more about the format of the magazine. You know, it's quite, you know, it's a lovely format. You know, there's amazing photography as well. It is definitely an incredible project to be done during a lockdown.
Yeah, well, I think that was kind of in parcel of the whole idea. It's like, you know, if you're going to do this while everyone else is doing digital, let's go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. You know, we don't have our creative director, David Lane, on the call today, but, you know, he obviously is a wonderful maker of magazines. And he and I spoke really early on about, you know, what this could kind of look and feel like. And I think all three of us had this kind of unified idea that it wanted to celebrate the idea of a magazine and what magazines can do. So, yeah, I mean, it's large format. It's big, beautiful pages. It's incredible work. And, you know, in a way, it's an interesting juxtaposition of really raw, rough stuff that people are making at home, DIY, you know, brought into this very traditional medium with beautiful typography, beautiful layouts. And, you know, it's kind of a mix of like a zine and a fashion magazine.
Also, because me, Nick, and Dave all come from an independent publishing background and also quite an art-based background, I think aesthetics are super important to all of us. So obviously you have a real breadth of artists, but even when we're looking at other subjects, let's take interiors or film or DJs, you're still coming at it from an aesthetic angle. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I love a thing.
You know, that was so important. It's like everyone's stuck at home. I think the one thing that we were really missing is touching things, seeing really beautiful things made, you know, not just streaming it over Instagram. And so, you know, this, as much as it was like kind of a social project to try to get people back on their feet again, it was also a refusal to accept that digital only culture and to really get out there, get on the printing press, make something that people really wanted to hold in their hands and find a way to ship it all around the world.
I'm with you guys. We need a beautiful print product in hand. And I think that's what Limbo is. And Francesca, I mean, the first issue, look at the amazing talent you have in the issue. You have Andre Arnold, Wolfgang Tillmans, Vivian Westwood. I mean, you were aiming high already in the first issue. And you know, how did you get so many big names? I mean, it seems that it's quite a great thing, you know, there in the magazine as well.
I remember in our first week of meeting, and like the third time we were obviously digital meeting because we haven't actually met in human form throughout the entire project. we came up with like a long list. And to be honest, bluntly opened our address books. I mean, I opened my address book pretty quickly. Obviously, I've spent years interviewing people and curating people and projects. And I think big names we knew would bring in opportunity to raise money for a lot of smaller emerging artists and emerging writers and emerging illustrators. So I went straight to some big ones. And in day one, we had Peaches, Julie Verhoeven, Miranda July, all saying yes. Wolfgang Tillmans very quickly after that. And then it just kind of snowballed from there because you had such high quality. Also, we really wanted to capture some of the really interesting projects that were happening during lockdown. For example, Tyler Mitchell's ICanMakeYouFeelGood.com, which was an incredible platform for me, which I think really reinvented how art could be seen digitally. So it's the projects came quite fluidly through all of this, but it was amazing how, yeah, I have a good address book.
And it shows.
I think it's also like a testament, you know, like a testament to the spirit of this moment, because we honestly, as Fran said, we made a list of hundreds of names and we kind of thought that we might get one or two of them. And just kind of everyone said yes, and we were really blown away by it. But I think it was this moment where everyone realized, you know, how fragile the creative community is, how vulnerable the creative community is sometimes. And there was just this community ethos that really rose up out of it. It was really kind of emotionally moving, honestly, to have so many people who you've respected and, you know, wanted to have in a magazine for your whole life, you know, suddenly all saying yes at once. So it's a real kind of record of how people were feeling, you know.
Every project I've always done, I always like the juxtaposition between huge names and emerging names. So you've got Ed Ruscha and Stephen Shaw and Vivian Westwood alongside Grace Wells Bonner and Danielle Braithwaite Shirley, who only graduated from the Slade last year, and like some really young emerging writers. And I found that really like incredible. That kind of, it keeps both angles alive, really, like makes people who are coming from a, it's a more grassroots level, really get to be contextualized with respect, which I think is really important. So we've got seriousness in there, but also lots of humor. It is a funny magazine.
It is a cheeky magazine. I noticed that. I like that. It's definitely not po-faced. It's very cool, kind of the whole aesthetic. How has it been the reception? I know the magazine is out, you know, for a week or something like that.
We launched last week, and it's been pretty overwhelming, honestly. You know, even before we launched, we kind of had a sense that it was really going to mean something to people. You know, all the contributors were so excited about it. All the press that we spoke to early on really loved the idea. I think it was just one of those kind of ideas that captured the moment. And also, let's be honest, there's not a lot of good news stories right now, especially in our industry. So the reception's been great. You know, it's been selling briskly, which is a lovely thing to have happen once you actually print magazines and put them out there. Although if you're listening, we could still use your support. So please do go online.
Yes, limbomagazine.com.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, if our listeners are interested, you know, where can they find a copy? I mean, is it best to go through your website? Do you have some stockists already?
We do. So, I mean, as always, the best thing for us is to come right to us, limbomagazine.com, and buy a copy, and we'll ship it to you wherever you are. But we've also got some really fantastic stockists, Mag Culture in London, the street market as well. But we've also had amazing people reach out from all around the world. We've just put some stockists online in Tokyo, in Italy, in New York. So, you know, hopefully it'll be where you are soon. These days, as you may know, shipping is a bit of a nightmare, so it may take a little bit of time to get there. But yeah, come find us online, and that's the kind of the easiest way. Although it has to be said, lots of the stockists have been amazing as well and are passing on all the profits right back to the artists. But yeah, if you come to us, we'll make sure that all the money is redistributed to the people who need it.
That was Nick Chapin and Francesca Gavin from Limbo Magazine. Issue 1 is out now. And now we head to France. Legend will explore one personality or legend every issue. The first one is dedicated to Zinedine Zidane. Julia Webster Ayuso spoke to François Vey about the new title.
The idea of Legend is to make a world story about an icon of our time, an outstanding personality or star or king. And the thing is, we will choose the subject of each issue regarding the importance and the awareness of this particular icon in the present time. For example, we have chosen Zidane because of the European Football Championship, and because also is an outstanding coach for the most important team in the world, which is Real de Madrid, the biggest club in Europe. And for the next one, maybe it's too early to announce it, but I just give you the information to a better understanding. The next one will be Angela Davis, and you see why. Because of George Floyd, because of the huge demonstrations throughout the world, and the fact that the youth is very concerned by this professor who is quite old now, but still an important figure.
That was François Vey from Legende. The first issue is out now, and you can read more about the title on Monocle's upcoming September issue. And now to a new print magazine that is a beautiful exploration of nature and color. Their first issue looks at Scotland and their evocative colorscape. The idea of Command Plus I magazine is to look at color combinations drawn from locations all around the world. I spoke to the title's founders, Cameron Prentice and Alex Longson.
It was all about Scotland, really, that kind of led us to this idea. It was actually right in the middle of a five-hour car journey through northern Scotland that the idea kind of just sprang at us. We were just driving through, and it was kind of early December, so there was just a bit of snow on the mountains that we were driving past. And Cameron and I were mainly based in photography and design in Edinburgh. And the phrase Command Plus I is kind of bounded around a lot, is kind of just meaning to take the sample of the color. And so Cameron actually joked at me. He's like, oh, we should Command Plus I that mountain and that view, because we just loved the colors and we weren't exactly sure how to kind of recreate that in a more kind of graphical design sense. And I think as soon as he said it, we kind of laughed and joked, but actually we thought, oh, that's actually a really interesting idea. And we stopped and we took more photographs, and actually as soon as we arrived into the cottage in Skye, we realized that we really need to kind of sample that. So we stopped and we took photographs, and as soon as we arrived into the cottage in Skye, we sat down and we started kind of sampling and analyzing the photograph, and we realized that Scotland in particular, but also just the natural landscape around us, is such a rich colorscape that designers like myself can draw upon in a really wide range of designs as well, not just kind of graphical, but we also saw how powerful they could be in interior design or product design and things like that. And so, yeah, the idea kind of just grew organically from that. And we had another three or four days in Skye and around northern Scotland. So we did as much as possible to kind of capture the landscape and use our existing library of photographs as well from across the years traveling around Scotland. And before we knew it, we had enough.
And Cameron, I love this connection between color and nature as well, because sometimes we don't even realize, but I mean, it's so important actually. And even, you know, looking at a mountain, I mean, the range of colors in there is fascinating. You guys did incredible research. And I also love the look of the magazine. Can you tell us a bit more about the look? It's quite, I don't know how to define. It's a mixture, kind of almost like a catalog, but also kind of a travel guide. It's a very interesting mixture.
Yeah, our main aim for this was to provide a sort of a reference point for designers, for people in the field, but also interior designers, you know, people that like to have coffee table magazines, just as a reference point. So I guess it does exist somewhere between a guide and a catalog and a book. We can't really place it yet.
I mean, Alex, I'm sure some readers will start asking you to go to their own city, you know, and kind of discover the colors for them. Are there plans for you guys to venture to different locations as well besides Scotland?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scotland was a very natural starting point for us because that's where we've been living for the past 7 or 8 years, and Cameron is born and raised in Scotland. So I think that just because we had such amazing access to all of these landscapes, it made the most sense to start with that. But as soon as we kind of finished this design, I think the ideas for other cities or other countries started to like pop into our heads. And we have former like albums from places that we visited in the past, but I think that it would really excite us to travel to a city or travel to a a country with this kind of idea in mind so that we can actually find, you know, really amazing colors and really curate a broad range of combinations that can be used.
Cameron, just coming back to you, I've seen your website and you guys have a shop. I mean, you're not only selling the lovely first print issue here about Scotland, but you also sell posters. So tell us a bit about the business side of CMD Plus I. Tell us a bit more.
Myself and Alex, we met about 7 years ago now at the University of St. Andrews, and we ran a creative partnership company there with first students for, you know, creative recognition and value of work within Scotland while at university. And I think our partnership stemmed from then, and the business side of things grew from there. And in the last 2 years, we've been in Edinburgh creating designs for companies, you know, from small startups to established fashion brands, design and photography. That's sort of our duo together. So that side of things, we launched the online shop, which does include, you know, we have posters, other designs and framed prints from my photography, from photographers throughout Scotland.
And I love how you introduce a little bit of fashion in the pages as well. I think it's quite cool and it felt kind of natural in a way. So tell us a bit about this, Alex. For example, I have a Dandenal here. It looks actually a bit like you, Cameron, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that one is myself, yes.
Okay, well, it was very clever. So tell us about this partnership with the brands, or you wanted to add some other aspects as well to the title.
Yeah, I think this is coming from the stages from before we exactly knew what the project was. And I think that when it was more along the lines of a magazine, we were considering how to incorporate kind of advertisements or some other form of sponsored pages in a way that I think the internet is actually pushing forwards in terms of these kind of collaborations rather than kind of curated sponsored content as opposed to explicit advertisements. And I think we just wanted to play around with the idea of introducing these kind of products or brands into the content in a way that feels more natural and feels like it's adding rather than just taking away from the experience. So that's something where I think we're looking to continue in the future.
Well, and a question for both of you, if our listeners, you know, if they want to get hold of a copy, is the best place to go your website? And will you try to sell as well some, you know, some good newsstands or bookstores as well?
The best place right now is the website commandplusi.com, and we're in touch with newsstands across London and the rest of the UK and all the best magazine and bookshops as well. So we should see that there fairly soon.
That was Cameron Prentice and Alex Longson from Command Plus I magazine. The Scotland issue is out now. Finally on the show, we look at music magazines. After the sad news of the demise of iconic titles such as Q Magazine, it's good to see there are new titles around. All the power to the music press. I think it's extremely important. I grew up with it. And so that's why I'm happy to, you know, to talk about the idea of The White Room, which is a new magazine created and written by women. It aims to promote the female perspective in music journalism. The title was conceived by Marta Lisson and is currently in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign. So do have a look at that. But first, let's have a listen to our chat.
The White Room started as a radio show for the University Radio in Frankfurt that I co-founded in 2013. And that radio show was called The White Room. And I did that for 3 years and people really seemed to enjoy it. And for me, it was more like a kind of like a diary. I was playing music that I discovered during the week on holidays. And I studied musicology, so I was never really focusing on one particular genre, but really, yeah, looking at music, really, everything that just came my way. And after 3 years, I took that show to a local radio station. Then I moved to London and relaunched it as a podcast. And meanwhile, I was always thinking, I'd love to make a magazine. So how can I turn this White Room into print? And how would it look like in print? And yeah, the magazine that I'm now crowdfunding for is the result, really.
And how are things going? You have a Kickstarter at the moment, right? And how has it been kind of the reception? And if our Stack listeners are interested to find out more as well.
Yeah, the reception has been really, really good. The reactions to the magazine, like over the years when I was preparing it, has always been really positive. And I think it's because the magazine really is reinventing the music magazine. I at least haven't seen anything similar so far. So first of all, the White Room magazine does not focus on one particular genre, once again linking to me being a musicologist and looking at music in general. And so each issue's theme is inspired by a long conversation with an artist. For example, first issue, I was talking to French electronic artist Zara Zara, whose music is very much informed by philosophy. So for the first issue, we look at electronic music and music philosophy. And this theme is then explored in articles and essays and comments and so on. And well, I guess even more importantly, this magazine is created and written by women, because music journalism is a very male world. And as a musicologist, again, I've been reading a lot of music magazines over the years, and at some point realized, hold on, that is most of the time a very single-sided perspective. So I want to change that.
And at the same time, you know, it's amazing. I agree with you. Music journalism is very much male. But you said that the magazine is also not just about women in music. So it's made by women, but, you know, the things you cover, they're kind of, they're not just women in music, right?
No. I really want to foster the female perspective in music journalism. I would find it quite boring, to be honest, to only write about women in music, because obviously there's so much great music out there by both men and women. The magazine is also not directed towards women, because I don't know, why would it? So yes, I really want the female perspective, but it's not about women in music.
That's very interesting what you said. You just want the perspective, and that's sometimes what's missed in journalism, even when, you know, they have interviews with female artists and everything. Marta, another thing I have to ask, I mean, I love music magazines. I grew up with them. I think they're so special. But at the same time, you know, it is a little bit of a difficult market. We heard news about Q magazine. So it's quite special. What do you think is the secret then to make a music magazine these days, in a way?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not even sure I can answer that because, yes, I know the music magazine market is a very difficult one. Also in Germany, Spex magazine has closed. I feel like a lot of music magazines have closed more or less recently. For me, it's just I've been working on this magazine or the White Room in generally for such a long time. I just have to try it. And maybe because the concept is so different, maybe it's got a chance. I mean, hopefully. What's the secret? That's a really, really good question. I haven't thought about it that way. I mean, what I also hope to achieve, maybe in a way, is that people start listening much more again. I always tend to say stop skipping, start listening, because also in a lot of music magazines there are so many reviews that of course we can read, but I always have the desire to then also listen to the music, but so much that I can't do it. So in the White Room, for example, I only have a very limited but well-curated selection of reviews, and I hope that gives people the time to really listen to the music that we write about. And to some extent, hopefully give some of our time back to artists who spend so much time on producing and writing the music, and then we just skip through the songs. So yeah, I guess that's another intention of the magazine. Whether that's a secret, I don't actually know.
You know who I would love to see at the White Room? I mean, I did read your bio, so I think probably one of your dream interviews would be with the Bee Gees, right?
Yes. Yeah, that would be fantastic. I mean, Barry Gibb, I mean, unfortunately, it's only Barry Gibb who's left, but the Bee Gees are the band of my life, and it would be fantastic to have them in the magazine at some point.
That was Marta Lissen from The White Room. And to support her Kickstarter campaign, do go to The White Room. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Nora Hall. And if you have any comments or queries, feel free to write to me, Fernando, at fp@monaco.com. And remember, we're back next Saturday at the same time. Meanwhile, you can always subscribe to The Stack on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or, you know, our Monaco 24 app as well. Before we go, a little song for you, INXS, New Sensation. You've been listening to The Stack. I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.